You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
If you like what you hear, please follow the Upstate Golf Guys on all podcast platforms. And follow the Upstate Golf Guys podcast on Instagram and on Facebook to hear our latest episodes.
For this young Cinderella, he's come out of nowhere. He's got about 350 yards left. He's going to hit about a 500, I expect. Don't you think? Oh, he got all of that one.
Welcome to another episode of the Upstate Golf Guys. Thank you for joining us. Before we get started, I have a few announcements. March 1st on the website upstategolfguys.com, all of our merch will be available. I know a lot of people have been asking about the hats. I have plenty of stock now on hats. I have quarter zips, which I am wearing this really sharp white quarter zip right now. How do you like that one, George? It's pretty nice, right?
Oh, man, that thing is gnarly. You look great.
Sick. We're going to have, you know, our beanies on there, hoodies, some golf, regular golf polos, and also specially coming from the custom rags, some golf towels. They are so sick, the golf towels we're going to have on there. So you'll be seeing those soon. But that's going to be March 1st. We'll be dropping that. And then another announcement, eggcornhillsco.com. Go check them out. Use promo code UPSTATE15 for 15% off. They have all golf apparel, quarter zips. They just dropped a new camo quarter zip. It's really sharp. So go check out Eggcorn Hills if you get the chance, and give them a shout. But I have a really special guest with me here today, a video creator, golf influencer, former academic All-American collegiate golfer, George Dunnan. What's up, George?
Yo, what is up, guys? Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on, man. I know your time is valuable. I see you on Instagram. I mean, you're at the gym 24/7. You're golfing 24/7. It seems like you're all over the place. You're a busy dude.
Man, definitely, you know, just like, honestly, just like everybody trying to find the best ways to do it. Come to find the gym is just really good for the soul. Like at first, when you start getting in there and you become a little bit religious about it, like, of course, you notice the gains and you're like, yo, what up? But like, as you delve more and more into it, it becomes more of a mental thing. Like I notice, just from a mental aspect and just from a community aspect, it's just been a game changer. So I love that. And yeah, definitely been jam packed with golf stuff.
How many days a week do you get out golfing at least?
Honestly, probably all seven.
Really? I love it.
To be real with you, you know, it's just become... Honestly, it's just become part of my routine. And I mean, as you guys get it, you know, fortunately for me down in Florida, I can do it. You know, I'm over here whining when it's like 55, 60 degrees. I'm just like, Man, growing up as a kid, dude, I would have looked forward to those days. I would have probably, like, dude, been in a cutoff and some shorts, bro. Now I'm over here like, oh my God, like I'm dying.
Quarter zips in the 50s. I know. I was actually, funny story. I took my girls down to Florida a few years ago, and we were in the swimming pool. It was like 7 o'clock at night. All the lifeguards and all the workers were in jackets and long pants, and here I am in the swimming pool. It was in like the high 60s, but it was the winter time. You know, to me, it was felt beautiful. You know.
Oh, so, yeah, I could just see everybody down there. Oh, man, yeah, for sure.
People living down there, it's a different world, you know. But when do you like...
Oh, man, you're getting that...
Go ahead.
To kind of give you a context about that, too, like, so down here, like, that's like the dead giveaway for, like,
tourists
and out-of-stater. We call them snowbirds sometimes down here. Yeah. But, like, man, when you guys are in your get-up-and-go clothes... when it's like 68 and we're, you know, in our igloo suits, because I don't know, for some reason, it, to be honest with you, the weather really does thin your blood out. But yeah, man, you know, when I was growing up, I would have been you, bro, for real. Like, not anymore though. Not now, but
I mean, I have a pretty good business up here that's holding us back. My wife has a pretty good job with the state that's holding us back. But I mean, if it wasn't for those two things, family is not one of, like, my mom and dad, I could FaceTime them every night. I could, you know, or family, I could deal with that. It's the jobs and the money that's keeping us here. But there's no bargain here in New York State for the cost of living, right, Roger?
It's crazy. It's absolutely
it's so expensive to live here. And then on top of that, we are only golfing
seven, eight months a year.
Yeah,
it's going to be 55 on Sunday, and we are so excited that we booked the 9 a.m. tee time. Like, we can't wait to go.
Where you guys playing?
So Mohawk River, it's actually the only course around here that's open all year, because there's a cart path that runs through the whole course. So you stay on the cart path.
Was that the one that we were talking about on IG?
I think so. Yeah, I had some videos
okay,
out there.
Okay.
Yeah, there was snow showing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So we're pumped. I mean, it's been really mild winter up here, dude. We're already ready to golf. I mean, the courses are bare. There's no wet spots. Usually this time of year, even when there's no snow, it's wet, you know, because from the melt. There hasn't been any snow this year. So, I mean, I'm driving by these golf courses, and I look like I'm ready to hop out and play.
Van Patten opens this weekend.
They are open?
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe we should book there instead.
They're slowly opening
up. Man, I'm like the country apart, and I'm excited for you boys. Like, let's go. Like, let's get that good weather in. Let's hit some shots out there, man.
Whereabouts in Florida are you?
So, I am in I'm in specifically Casey Key, but I live in Sarasota.
Okay.
Okay. Nice.
So anytime you guys want to come down here, got a membership at a great club, dude.
That'd be amazing.
Hell yeah. Hey, listen. Sure. You guys are good people.
We might take out your offer there.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, you can have.
I have a buddy that has he has a business in Florida Keys. He actually he has a few businesses. Started with, I don't know if you've heard of, he had a bartending school down there. Oh my God, how can I even think of it right now?
Good plug, man.
No, he sold it. He's doing great with his other. Oh my goodness. Anyways, he has Tropical Charters. That's a charter he has down there, which is awesome. He actually goes out boat trips to the Keys. He takes groups out. It's like $600 for a half a day, dude. He banks. And I'm like, what kind of, like, that's in the, how amazing is that life, going out on a boat? And then they just open a coffee shop. So he's doing pretty, he loves it down. He'll never come back. He's like, what are you guys doing in New York State? It's like, it's terrible up here.
I don't know, man, but you had some valid points, though, at that whole adulting concept. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there'll be a time when you get down here or somewhere where you can golf year round for sure.
Retirement, you know, that's what I'm looking at, really. Elite bartending school is what it was, by the way.
Hopefully his parents will buy a place down there and we'll be able to
So the last few years, my parents have been.
My guy, I hear that.
They've been. Well, we take advantage of. We love my mom and dad. Mikey buys them Christmas presents every year. That's how close he is with them, Mike.
Absolutely.
And shout out
to Cindy and Jerry.
I don't even know you, but you guys sound like good people.
They let us use the condo whenever we want at the Cape. Absolutely. You know, my dad, he'll give me a couple rules before we go every time. You know, make sure you turn the heat down when you leave. Make sure you don't use too much heat. Make sure this, make sure that.
Typical dad.
I'm like, Dad, I got it. You know, I got you. It's awesome. But yeah, the last couple of years, they've been going down to Florida for a couple of weeks in the wintertime, and they're falling in love with it down there too. So I'm like, take the money out of the stock market, buy a place down there. I was like, rent it out, do what you got to do. I was like, have multiple, whatever. I think property, I personally believe that property is the best investment anyways. I said, buy
honestly, and you know, that's what I do too. So every 2 years I buy a new house, and then I just, for right now, because I don't have any kids or family, and that's my choice, honestly. But, you know, every 2 years I'll buy a house, and this house that I'm in now is kind of as big as I want for just me. But every 2 years I'll buy a house and I'll rent the new one out. And it's a great way. It's a great way for write-offs. And
oh, yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what I should not say as far as, you know what I mean? But like,
I get you.
Yeah, so
no,
you get
no, say no more. My friend Kareem Johnelly's in the Johnelly Realty. I gave him a plug last episode. I actually sponsored that episode. Awesome dude. But he always tells me the ins and outs. I mean, he has so many properties he owns. And he does the same thing. Buys, fixes up, rents out. It's
so what do? You Airbnb everything, or are you just renting to people?
That's a good question. So currently right now, I want to get two more before I like specifically have that property for an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want to get two more is one, like this is all long-term investing, you know, especially that old phrase, like land, you know, you can't make more land, essentially. So I kind of started to capitalize on that, but I came up with two. It could be one, but I keep doing this because as I get more and more renters in, essentially I have zero mortgage for every single thing, because every single house currently, because
absolutely
it pays for everything. The rent pays for obviously the mortgage for that house, but then you add that sum to the new house, and then you plug along for say 2 years or whatever your number may be, and then you get another property. So now you have two sources of income to pay the mortgage that you're living in, and then you buy another one and another one. So the reason why I came up with that number is that way I can just give it to a property manager. Just be like, look, handle it. I'll give you your 15%. We both make money. I don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the move.
Absolutely.
That's great. And dude, honestly, we've only seen in history's proven it. I mean, and this is what I keep telling my parents, property only goes up. I mean, you're right now, it's more than money in the bank. I think it goes up more than stock. So my dad always, he complains about the stock market going on. Right now he's doing great in it, but when it's, you know, like the ups and downs or whatever, when he's worried about a crash and all the, not, I said, Dad, I said, you know, what's a guarantee? I said, buy another condo that you could rent out. I said, the value is gonna go up. I mean, I always use an example, a place in Wildwood they were going to buy when all these condos were going, Wildwood, New Jersey, a vacation place we always went to, and they were interested in buying a new condo there. They were going to buy it for $120,000 in like the mid 90s. They're going for $1.2 million right now. And you know, you could have had a place. I said, you could have had a vacation place, rented it out the whole time. It's like money in the bank growing. I mean, really at the end of the day,
I mean, so I can tell you this. Cause I mean, once you, not to stick up for him or anything, but like before you get your footing and you kind of, and I'm not a professional at this by any means, but like until you get your footing, it's a big leap because there's a lot of variables that you don't know what to account for, right?
Right.
But once you actually do make it, I like what I am comfortable enough saying is you don't lose money.
No.
Like if anything, you're going to profit by just a little bit when you factor in all of the costs associated with it. Just think of it like just any other business. It's got checks and balances. But I mean, honestly, it's a great investment. And one of the biggest things is you can rent it out like Airbnb or, you know, all the different platforms where you can do short-term rentals, because that's where you really capitalize.
Especially vacation areas, you know, on top. Especially Florida, you have all year long. If you have a vacation area in Florida, I mean, you're looking at all year long. Up here in the Northeast, you're only looking at, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day is the big rental.
You get like 3 months a year where you're really
big rental zones, you know, summer for the kids. And then, but down there, I mean, you'll have adults that come any time of the year. My parents, they went down for 2 weeks to Hollywood, Florida, you know, just in January, just random, you know. But let's get back
on like a random trip. Yeah.
Let's get on to golf talk. We'll talk. We'll definitely.
all right.
We could go on and on about this because I love real estate talk. But let's get back into golf. This is a golf podcast. So tell me when you fell in love with a game.
You know, so I was probably I fell in love with the game when I was a kid. I was maybe five. I went to this little. Are you allowed to, just before I know, are you allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah, so absolutely. Just, yeah, we're wide
okay,
open.
Okay, because I'm like trying to focus on making sure I should have asked.
You don't go, George.
You don't need to hide your vape.
I'm about to rip the pen to myself.
You don't need to hide your vape.
So, yeah, I mean, so it really started, and I didn't even know it started then, but I was about five or six, and, you know, I love all these golf memes because my dad had to have fallen straight into every fucking one of them. You know what I mean? So my mom was just giving him shit about taking me out. So he does one day.
Yeah.
And it's just this, it wasn't the club. It was just this little driving range. And honestly, I hit every single ball like shit until the very end. And all I know, I didn't even see it. All I know is that it got off the ground and then I couldn't see it. And I was like, oh my God, did you see that?
That guy
and
loves.
Nobody really gave a shit because it probably went like 30 yards. You know what I mean? Then I was hooked. And so then going into really, I mean, I played like in seventh or eighth grade or whatever, not just something to do.
Hacking around.
And then summer going into my ninth grade year was when I really kind of took it serious, started playing a little bit more. And then the summer going into my junior year, that's when it really, really started to develop where I kind of, you know, because I lettered like a lot of people in like four different sports. You know, I used to play a little ball, basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Typical white boy game. I could shoot and dribble.
And you grew up down in Florida?
Nope.
What's that now?
I might have missed it. Did you grow up down in Florida? Where did you grow up originally?
So originally, I'm from Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky boy up in here.
Okay. Yeah, boy.
So that's why I really do love all the different, just the scenery up your way. It's just so gorgeous, like especially the seasons.
Yeah,
we never realized how gorgeous Kentucky was until it was gone, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Like we bitch about having wintertime and stuff, but I think we'd probably miss it if we were to live down in Florida.
Well, man, Austin.
To be Austin, real.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, what's going on?
Lost your audio, George. Hold on.
George. We lost your audio, George. Can you hear us? There it goes. All right, you're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We're good.
My bad.
We lost your. No. It's all good. So what were you? That whole thing we just said. That's why we lost your audio there. Repeat what you said. I'll fix it.
Where did it stop?
I don't even know.
You're talking about coming through the country when you don't have it, when you, you know, you're.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was just one of those things. Like, it, you know, I used to look at it as a pain in the ass. And then when I left Kentucky, like,
yeah.
I just didn't realize what I had until it was gone.
Sure.
Absolutely. I do love the seasons up here. I mean, the fall is my favorite season up in upstate New York, just because of the foliage.
Yeah, man, I love palm trees. I can look at palm trees every day.
Yeah, man, you know, they're pretty, but you know, you get those trees up there too. Like, it's just two different like ways to play golf, essentially, if you think about it. Because, you know, down in Florida, even at my club, you know what I mean? So it's got fantastic greens, fantastic fairways, but it's all Bermuda down here. So you're getting tight lies. You've really got to learn how to read grain. Like, that shit will drive you nuts. Yeah. When you first start coming, like when you first came down, for instance, to give you an idea, and you would read a putt as if you were still up north, and then it would just break all sorts of weird ways. And you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, this literally goes left to right. Like, there is no way in the world it doesn't go left to right. And then you get that old dude in the cart that you get paired with randomly, you have three people and they have to pack one of them. But then he comes through, right? Because he's like, well, wait, so it's 3 o'clock. The sun's over here. It's always going to grow towards the sun. So then he teaches you how to read those greens and how to read the grain specifically. So it's just a whole different ideology of golf.
I love those
true putts up there. Like,
Roger, I just learned. Much. I mean, I've been golfing, George. I've been golfing for 23 years. And I just learned last year about reading the grain on the greens, yep, and the way the grain's growing. And a pretty solid golfer, Adam, showed me.
Yep.
How to read that. And I said, are you sure that's going to break like that? He said, yeah, absolutely.
As someone who's just like a random, like, you're just going out there to have a good time with the boys and you're playing whatever, just a regular golfer, you're not even thinking about which way the grass is going or this, like, you know, you're not even, it's not even a thought.
No,
you're just looking at it. Okay. It breaks right to left. I'm hitting it right. It's going to break left.
Yep.
But like you're saying, it is such a huge factor.
So what college did you play for, George?
So I played for a couple. Was going to go to the University of Kentucky and play, and then realized that I had to wait just a little bit of time. So ended up starting my career at Georgetown College. Played with some really cool cats there. Christian Heavens, who's big now on IG. We were teammates. Played with some really good people. Got to play Cherry Blossom up in Kentucky every day, every single day. I may or may not have skipped some science classes there to go play Cherry Blossom on a couple occasions. Oh, no. But yeah, you know, so started off there, then went to Kentucky State. There was nothing wrong with Georgetown. I just wanted to be a little bit closer to home. Went to Kentucky State. Met yet again a lot of really great people there. The founder of Eastside Golf, Elijah Wan,
yep,
used to play against him. Shit, in high school, I played against Justin Thomas at St. X.
Amazing.
Dude, you should have seen, like, even in real life, I remember this tournament. I ended up four putting on the last hole to shoot a 74. Like, I don't know how you fuck up like four different separate occasions, but you know, manage.
Listen, so, they can do it too. The good ones, the scratch golfers.
Oh man.
They all four.
I was just, I remember I was so nervous on that last hole because I just wanted to like have him not beat me so bad. If that makes any sense. Like, but just watching him.
That was JT, right? Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's amazing, dude.
And just that must have been,
that's a memory stuck with you right now. Absolutely.
Dude, it's a whole different level. And he's, like, what you see out there, like, he's actually that cool. Like, he's a good dude.
Oh, I love JT. I love the. I'm sorry. I love the tampon joke that Tiger pulled with him, and everybody went. Everybody, yeah. Everybody got all their panties in the bun for some people. I think it was fucking funny. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, Tiger fan, and I thought it was pretty funny.
I listen. It was this, and they're boys that are just out there busting ball. It's something you or I would do if we were out there golfing. You know,
it's, that's what I'm saying. Like, it
come on.
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like every. Have you noticed that though? Like every single move people make nowadays, it's like it has to be associated with something. Like, no, bro, this was me out driving my boy, and this is an inside joke. And like, I had nothing to do with any of these made up ideas. Like, I never would have even done it. No, and I know I would still be talking. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he literally hid it when he gave it to him. He literally was hiding it. It had to get zoomed in by. So, like, the fact that, like, this was an inside joke between the two of them, meant to be an inside joke, and it just got blown up. I really was. I was a Facebook warrior with that one, sticking up for Tiger and JT. I was on there, you know. I was.
This guy's known to leave reviews. So, we have a local par three. When I first started playing, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I Google it, the book of tea time, right? And here it is. Anthony, I can't believe this course. I'm so disappointed they haven't taken care of it.
Went to shit.
There was like a literally 3-paragraph like Yelp review. I'm like, my man hasn't changed one bit.
You Google it, you're like, here's my guy right there.
He knew right away. He's like, he knew that was Farina before. He knew it was Farina before he even got to the name. He said, I know this guy. I love that,
bro.
But it was a course I grew up on that was a beautiful little par three course.
It was,
and
too.
It switched ownership like 3 times. And now it's not even a golf course anymore.
It's like a winery.
Yeah, they made, you know, there's trails people could go walk.
It's like a walking garden with like a golf course around it. It's the weirdest thing. It's really
it is weird to see when that happens. There was a course down here. Me and my dad used to play it. He was my hero, man. Dude, you ever meet somebody that just makes cool effortless? Like, no matter what they do, you're just like, that son of a bitch is cool. Like, he could have closed the door. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're just like, the way he just shut that door, that motherfucker's cool. Like, dude, that was my dad. And there was this course down here. And, similar thing happened. It just, whether it had been funding or whatever it was, ends up turning into something else, and you still see where the golf course used to be. It kind of hits you here, doesn't it? Like, it's a weird thing to see when
the golf course taking it back over.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
sucks.
Dude, it's crazy. And you know, growing up, I had a very similar place. Honestly, it was called Lakeview, and that it had a very similar vibe. Just city-owned par three, had its own range, 9-hole executive course, and honestly, that's where I was every day.
This Brunswick Greens also had an awesome. Do you remember the little mini golf? It had a mini golf course, but it was the first. It almost reminded you of Tiger's. What are his mini golf courses all over the place? Tiger's the.
Pop stroke.
Yeah, I mean, it had, because it had no like windmills or nothing like that, but it had your sand traps and it had your little water spots, you know, like it was like a little mini, it was like a golf course on a mini golf course. But this was this was like in the late 90s. I remember going to hang out at Brunswick Greens with all my high school friends because there was nothing to do. I grew up going to the school Tamarack. Little, I mean, 75 graduated our high school or graduating class. Very, very small school. So not much to do. So those were the things we did. And I loved the course. And it was just, you know, watching it go to shit over the years was just a shame. But what are you going to do? You know, it happens. I guess.
No, man, I have your back totally. No, dude, I couldn't agree more, actually. It does suck because, like, not only it, especially when you realize how much bigger it is than just yourself, if that makes sense. Like, how many people, whether and take money aside, like how many people work there, no matter what they made, like they put their fucking heart and souls into this shit, especially when you learn the greenskeepers and you learn the groundskeepers and and then you like see when they come there super, super early and they'll bring their dog or something like that. And then, you know, the dog, and then it's just like, and then they just don't get the funding, and it's hard to watch something like that just go down. And it's slow too. I think that's the hardest part, is it's like, it's slow and you try to vocalize your point and then it just gets cast to the side.
Exactly.
And, it's hard. I get it, bro. For real. It's
over like a 10-year period.
Yep. Yep. And then finally I went, well, then that's what happened. I went when I went, and when I left the review, I think it was like the first time I went in like 3 years. I was like, wow, this place really,
I never laughed so hard, dude.
There was ant hills in the greens. And I was at the greens. And I was like, you had to literally, you were playing like mini golf on the greens there, trying to avoid the ant hills. Like they didn't take care of it, you know. It was just so bad, dude.
And they were still charging like $35 to go play 9 holes in the cart.
So,
and that's the caveat too. And then they
still charge. So he was like, his excuse, I remember, oh, it's been very dry. I'm like, yo, so get out there with the damn hose. I don't even care, dude.
Yeah, but you know. They make water. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. So, tell me about George. Tell me about. You told me a little bit about this on IG. Your high school record. You had 22 chip-ins. And 18 total tournaments. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's a testament, you know, just missed a lot of greens. You know what I mean? No, I'm playing. But, you know, my game back then consisted of a lot of up and downs. Like, I used to, back in that day, I used to hit a draw only. Like, that's what I was doing. And, you know, I just missed so many greens, honestly, that I started to get good at it. And, you know, when the coach had told me at the very end how many times I'd actually chipped in, it didn't really register at first, if that makes sense, because I was like, well, we only played in 18 tournaments. I chipped in 22 times. And he was like, yeah, so you averaged more than one chip in per tournament. And I was just like,
that's crazy,
man, thank God. Cause those were those round savers. And it's amazing. Like now I hit the ball so much better, but back then, I mean, what made me so versatile was I was getting up and down from everywhere. Like I could hit flop shots off of hard pan lies, like just the weirdest shit you've ever seen in your life. And then a lot of them would go in. Like, I mean, that's the one record that I think will never be broken.
I don't think it will either. That's really impressive, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. I might have one chip in every 18 years, let alone 18 rounds.
I had one all the last year. And I play, I'm not 7 days a week, but I'm 5-6 days a week. So I had one all the last year. So that's impressive. 22 in 18 rounds.
I think I had a couple last year.
That's where Mikey is. So
I'm the same way as you.
He's short game. He's 150 in. He'll go up, walk up to a 4 or 5 footer and knock it in. I have to look at it for a minute, you know?
When you live around the greens, you learn to adapt.
This guy.
So.
Right. This guy is 150, but I'll, you know, he gets frustrated because I'll outdrive him by 30 yards, but we still battle back and forth. We both shoot in the mid 80s and we always, all season long, he's literally my golf partner. I don't think I miss a round without this guy. Roger, he plays every Sunday. I join his crew. He's got a circuit of 8 to 12 guys that plays every Sunday, and I join them. And then we're also all in a it's like a golf week amateur tour. So we play different courses every weekend. That's another cool thing that we do. So we get a lot of golf in, but I can't play. Roger is has flex schedule. He goes in at 2 a.m, so he's done by 11 on a summer, and he goes out and plays every day before he's got to pick his daughter up. So
it's a nice little schedule.
He's lucky. I would do the same for golf. One thing for golf, I would get up to work at 2 a.m. to, you know, to get my day in and go golfing, no doubt.
But no, easy.
It's funny now because like we can't golf, so it's so much harder to get up for work. You know, when you like, you've got that one thing to do and like, you've got no problem getting up. That's what it is. Once the golf course is opened up, I'm literally, all right, alarm's off at 2 o'clock. I'm up, I'm out. Alarm goes off now. Snooze.
Yeah.
Snooze. Once that course opens, I'm up, I'm out. I know I got something.
You know, you're golfing.
Even down here, like I noticed that same thing. Like, don't even feel bad. I noticed that same thing down here. Like, especially when it starts, we don't have the cold so much per se, but like when it starts getting dark so early, it really is. It's like deflated.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
It is crazy how addicting this game is.
It really, right. It's disgusting. My wife just doesn't understand. Her funny thing is, why do you always need to buy new golf balls? You got like 300 down in the basement that are, you know, used. I'm like, listen, babe, you don't understand. It's just, I don't know if it's a mental thing. I was like, I just like getting new balls for new rounds, you know, for especially.
Well, without a doubt. And it's just like, don't you just feel so much more at ease too? So you get there, you get to the first tee, you got a brand new Pro V in your fucking hand, right?
Right.
And you just open that up and you're just like, I'm playing a Titleist four, guys.
100%.
Like it just gives you that just, absolutely. I don't even know how to really describe it.
It's something about a new ball, dude. I 110%, man. Just for me to, you know, take it out and hit it in the woods. But, you know, that's another story. But George, tell me what happened with the car accident, man?
Dude, I don't even have a cool story to go on with that.
It kind of ended your college career, though, right? Or did it?
Yeah, you know, and I went like, I can't even blame it on you know, smoking too much weed or being drunk. Like I was looking for a Rod Stewart CD case so it would show me what song Maggie May was. You know, hey, wake up Maggie, that song, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yep. Yes,
absolutely.
So yeah, and then I look back, if the CD fell in the back, I look up, I'm looking at a tree going 40. I hit that puppy dead on. And honestly, you know, when you're younger, things like that, it's like it's the end of the world. You know what I mean? And I failed to kind of see the bigger picture, which is, you know, I made it out. Like, yep. I easily could have died. Like, I had a Buick. It was, I mean, the whole front end of it was pushed out. Like, it was bad. So then for a while, I quit. You know, I tried, it did ruin my college career. I tried to go back too quick, ended up exacerbating or making my injury to my foot a little bit worse. So, you know, just
kind of tough. And then that's when you decided to make the move to Florida, right?
Yeah, just something new. Waited about a year to get that in-state tuition because it's a huge difference. From an economic standpoint, and then finished school down here. And I've got to say, though, I mean, even with that happening, like, it's crazy how things happen for a reason. And this whole IG journey has been incredible. Like, I've met some of the coolest people. Like, dude, I met Santonio Holmes doing this. And unbelievable. The That's dude awesome. Is a G. Like, he is so cool for being the man. You would have no idea. Like, I had my boy from college, Josh. That's how I was able to, because the PGA, like, that show is hard to get in. Like, I got lucky. I don't even know. I got lucky. Like, Josh Jackson.
You met some cool people.
Really
you met some cool
out.
People in there, right?
Oh, my God.
I saw some pictures. Tell me about some of the people you met at the PGA show while you're on the topic. Gabby Girl Golf. D.O.D.
Dude, Gabby Golf Girl, she was really cool. Like, I just love her content, man. She always brings that energy so hard, and you can tell. And in real life, she was awesome. Met the D.O.D. King. We had been texting back and forth a lot, and then to actually get to meet him, dude is a straight G.
He's like, awesome. That's what we were talking a little bit. I'm still mad about what is going on with you guys. You guys know what's going on with him?
He's the one who got his Instagram page wiped
off,
right?
Well,
yeah, he finally got it back. And
he did.
Okay. I haven't seen that.
He did get it back. I haven't asked him yet just because, like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure it was a lot of jumps. But, like, dude, because you told me you had spoken to your boy, right? And apparently it was called, like, getting cut. And for the life of me, like, you know, some of the DMs, like, I just don't know why that he would get banned for really anything, because his main point once you get through all the stuff is, like, to really believe in yourself. Like, his platform is actually great if you take the time to understand what he's trying to do.
Absolutely.
And it's just amazing what some people get away with and some don't. So it's really great that he got his account back.
Well, we saw, and we joke, we see all these models, you know, promoting their OnlyFans, and they're all half naked everywhere, which, whatever, power
dude,
to them.
That's guy, what I,
whatever, that's right. You know, is what it is. But this guy's just, he's a, you know, he's a tough guy, golf, you know, golf video creator, and like, you know, he's got a little toot to him, whatever. It's, but I love it, you know. I don't understand why they shut him down, but,
well, I don't either. And I think it's, you know, and I can't really tell you why either, but I just know that I love the fact that he doesn't conform, like, mm-hmm. because I don't either. And I don't think I never will, if that makes any sense. Like, I want to be there for the for people in the right way. And that is truly just to be me. Like, I don't want to be a fake version of myself anywhere. Like, that's why I hope my content comes off as authentic, because there's been, as you know, like, you go through these transitions in this journey, and you're just like, the reels that you make that you think are just going to be absolute bangers just flop. And then the ones that you make in like 2 seconds are just killing it. And you're just like, what the hell is yep. like, to the point where you finally just get to where I'm at. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to just make it, because I feel like I'm going to attract the people that I need to attract if I just be me.
That's
and
great
hit golf shots and explain what I'm doing, but do it in the way that's just authentically me. Like, I quit trying to find trends. I quit trying to find all this shit and all this research that I've done on like how to make videos. Like, I'm always working on how I can make them better and what I can do to improve my editing skill.
That's this guy.
Hold on, I gotta know that. I gotta know that.
I got 1,000 views today.
So, yeah, this is just recent news. Like, I don't know if I broke the algorithm or what, but like,
broke the algorithm.
Every single one of listen, dude. So I got 400 views on my reel, 300 views, 12. All of a sudden, I wake up the other morning. I go, Rod, something's going on here. I got a congratulations. Your video got 1,000 views. So now I'm working. And all of a sudden it lets me know I got like 3,000 views. Bro, in 5 days, this one video has got 20,000 views. It's over.
Dude, let's go. It's
I'm
exciting.
Fucking, I don't know. Right? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. 20,000 in 5. I'm like, I don't know if that's, to me, that is viral, bro. I don't know if it is viral. I think viral is technically a million views.
Now,
but
now he's trying to crack the algorithm.
No, so
I got to get the next addicting. Video and crack the algorithm.
It's funny shit. But let me listen, before we let you go, I'm going to go through. I do this with every, especially a scratch golfer. I go through like 5 questions, kind of quick answers.
Yeah.
On the spot. You ready for them?
Let's do it.
All right. Favorite club and bag?
7-iron.
Do you use mallet or blade putter?
Blade.
What is your golf ball of choice?
Pro V1X.
Okay. Any hole in ones?
One.
What course?
The course that we were talking about when I first grew up, it was, bro, I was 10 and the hole was 146 yards. I hit driver. The ball didn't even hit the fucking green either is the best part about it. There was this mound. It hit the mound, kicked dead left and went in the hole. And I was just like, guys, I think that went in the hole. Like, dude. Like, drove through tee boxes. Like, I was driving the cart, like, drove off pretty much off a cliff. I was just like, screw it, we'll come back to get it. Sure enough, it was in there.
So I mentioned this to the last whoever it was I was talking about the hole in ones. I think it was Don't Get Greedy. It's funny because, like, you could talk to guys that literally golf 7 days a week, like yourself, and playing for 40 years and never had a hole in one. And then you see on Instagram, I don't know if the videos are real or the pictures just fake. You see like a 9-year-old kid that said he got two hole in ones in like the same round, or two hole in ones in a week, the same course. Like, I'm like, is this real? Like, you know, it's just such a rare thing. But I mean,
that one kid who the same tournament Tiger was at, the one kid had two hole in ones.
Yeah. I mean, it had to have happened. They have witnesses. So I guess Unbelievable,
that,
right?
I mean, that is, it is hard to believe though. Like, it is so rare, and you'll go through this journey and you'll come so close, like so many times, and you're just like, it almost gets to the point where you want to take your hat off. You know what I mean? Like, dude, what do I have to do to just ball to go in the hole in one shot? Like,
dude, I've been
want to golf my ball into that hole in one shot. Like, just let me do it once. Like, I
I've been very close. A couple drive bys last year at Freer Park. I hit the apron on the ninth green. And I knew it was close just from where the ball was. It rolled by the hole. I'm like, that had to have been close. And when I walked up, I mean, it was probably an inch above the hole. So it rolled by the hole about an inch away, just about 2 feet tapping birdie. But man. So besides that hole in one, last question for you: what was your favorite golf memory that you could remember?
Huh. Now, there's a lot of these, but I think it was when I won my first tournament. And that's a great question. It's when I won my first summer tour tournament.
Okay.
And I played at, I won it at Cherry Blossom. And then, just when I walked off and I went to the scorer's tent and signed everything and made sure, you know, when everybody came in that I actually did win. And then just having my dad there, man.
Yep.
Just having my dad there, and he just gave me those knucks and just gave me a hug. Like, that was, that was something. It was either that or when I made the Junior Kentucky Ryder Cup team.
Okay.
And having my dad go with that. Like, that was really neat.
You mentioned that to me real quick, filling that in before we let you go. What was that? You said it like the top 10 golfers in each. Fill me in. You tell me.
Yeah,
about
definitely.
It.
So my senior year, it was called the Challenge Cup for logo reasons, obviously. But there's two conferences in Kentucky, and it's on a point system, just like the Ryder Cup would be. So the top 10 from each conference make this Challenge Cup, or essentially the Junior Kentucky Ryder Cup team.
Yep.
We played that at the Danville Country Club, and I won my match, but let's go. But
hell yeah, my man.
But based on a point system all throughout the season. I think my senior year, my stroke average was it was 71.9.
Awesome. Wow. Mm. Jealous. I'll get there someday, maybe.
Dude, you guys have no idea, though. If you're just starting your journey – like, it's incredible to look back and just, especially with your podcast and everything that you guys are doing, you have such a great reference point to see your different areas of growth. Like, it's just, you guys are going to look back on it. It's just going to be such a great journey, dude.
That's the plan, man. That's the plan. I just, that's really why I started this whole thing. I love the game of golf. Our winters are very long, so it kind of gives us something to do in the winter. But really, the golf journey, doing these 50 courses on the Cape, man, I'm hoping maybe some public or private members, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Eastward Ho. It's in Chatham out there. I mean, it's one of the hardest courses to get on. It's like Augusta off Cape Cod, you know. You're not going to get on. Like, it's like, you know,
well, yeah,
you're
going
to really know somebody.
You have no idea. Honestly, though, like, and in – this will, because I don't want to hold you guys up too much either, but, you know, it is really amazing when you get traction on here, the different avenues that it does lead you to. I really have to shout out Josh Jackson for everything that he's done for me. I have to, I'm going to start working with Swing Juice, this company. And honestly, like, I've had companies reach out to me, and there's nothing wrong with it, any of them prior to. I just wanted to make sure once I found a company that it was a company that I could truly promote in an unsalesy way.
Because
I just, people ask me all the time, like, dude, I'm a shit salesman. I'm in sales, but I'm not a good, because I'm not going to tell anybody to do something or buy something that I don't believe in. Like, I love this brand. I always grew up playing FootJoy, Cutter and Buck, you know, the name brands. But the reason why I love this brand is because it covers every spectrum of the golf sphere. Like, this is just a straight wear around shirt, but it's comfortable. The polos, like, you can be as loud or traditional as you want, but the owners of the company are just so down to earth and just such good people. Like, add the cherry on the top to the clothes are actually fire. Like, they're fire. The pullover that I can't seem to take off. Like, honestly, I told this to my mom actually the other day, and her jaw almost hit the ground. You know, from a performance standpoint, the polos are top notch. But as far as the pullover is concerned, I've never had a pullover that actually was performance, if that makes sense. Like, it held up the entire round, but there was zero resistance in my backswing or follow through. And that was like,
that's what's mind-blowing. Yep. That's what's important, especially for a golfer, for sure. Absolutely. Is that resistance, you know, you don't want to have to be taking your shirt on and off, you know, in between drives.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why, like, especially, I don't know, in your neck of the woods too, like, cause I had quarter zips all the time, but they were those wool or just like polo ones. And you would have to take them off almost every single time.
Too much.
It felt restricted. If that makes any sense.
I have a couple. So it's funny because Callaway, a multi-million dollar golf company, I have a couple of Callaway quarter zips, and they're like that. They're the heavy. I can't swing with these Callaway, but I have, you know, my man Nate at Cornhills, I have his quarter zip. And I mean, I'm so, you know, that they're using different material in these, and I don't know what it is about them, but I agree, man. It's the resistance is the most important part to me. Difference. Absolutely.
Makes a huge difference.
Yes,
make an sure. enjoyable round.
Too. Yeah, for sure.
I've got to send out, you know what, then I'll send, you guys definitely just some quarter zips or pullovers to try out. So you could act, cause everybody at the end of the day, I could say anything that I want. Like, I want you guys to actually see what I mean. So I'll send you guys, and it's on me. So I'll send.
Well, I'll return the favor. I'll send you some Upstate Golf guys gear as well, man. You know,
dude,
you know,
please, that'd be great. We'll trade.
Absolutely, for sure. We'll hit each other up and get each other's addresses after this, for sure. But dude, George, definitely. You want to give? I know you just gave Swing Juice a shout out. Do you want to give anyone else a shout out before we let you go? Any other plugs or give you a follow on Instagram, stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. Just I just want to thank all of my followers. I do want to thank Swing Juice. I do want to thank Josh Jackson. But just really everybody for staying with me through this journey. Like, nobody has to watch any of your stuff. Nobody has to do anything. So it's just really appreciated that people kind of want to delve into my little world here. And dude, I've got to say, like, it gives me purpose on my end. Like, pretty much everything that I do from a content perspective, like, I have the followers in mind. So just huge shout out to everybody. Huge shout out to you guys for having me on. Like, this journey's just been incredible. And
Our pleasure.
I'm just having a great time.
You got a good energy about you, man. That's what it is. You got a good energy, and that's what people are attracted to continue to follow you. So keep doing what you're doing, man, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. When you're genuine, people follow.
Dude, much love, man. That's honestly the best compliment you guys could have given me. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, with that, man, thank you for listening to the Upstate Golf Guys podcast.
He's got
to
say where they can find it. What's his Instagram? You mentioned it?
Mention your Instagram. It's
just
George Dundon, right?
My handle is just George Dundon.
D-U-N-D-O-N, right? George Dundon.
D-U-N-D-O-N, yes, sir.
Yes, yep. Give him a follow. He's got some fun videos for sure.
For sure,
absolutely.
Man.
Thanks for that. But all right, with that said, thank you for listening to another episode of the Upstate Golf Guys podcast.
518 to the Cape.
Itself has its own energy or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home. So why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He's got his airplane tickets.